Hello, friends. This is Andy Atwell welcoming you to Come, Let Us Reason Together. This next half hour will be dedicated to putting the Bible back into its number one place in the hearts and minds of mankind. Throughout the centuries, the Bible remained the number one book sold. Only today has it taken a back shelf position in men's lives and minds. Even Christian bookstores have more books about the Bible than the Bible itself. The Bible is the only book written by God, and in it alone is found the pathway to life. Come now, let us reason together with Gilbert Larson and his friends.
Hello, everyone. This is Gilbert from New Mexico.
Hi, this is Andy from Vancouver, Washington.
And this is Steve from Gilbert, Arizona.
We're in Matthew chapter 12 and 13 today, and we've been talking about having a good attitude and looking up. This is Matthew is talking about the kingdom of heaven, and it's the gospel or the good news. And so to see the kingdom of heaven, we're not to be caught just always being glum or looking down or depressed on things, about things, but we're to look up.
Set your mind
on the things above,
on the things above,
and not on the things that are on the earth.
For you have died,
for you have died,
and your life is hidden with Christ, with Christ in God. Therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God, seated at the right hand of God.
Set your mind
on the things above,
on the things above,
and not on the things that are on the earth. For you have died,
for you have died,
and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you will also be revealed with him in glory. Set your mind on the things above,
on the things above,
and not on the things that are on the earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God.
We're now in Matthew chapter 12, and the last context, which is 46 through 50.
While he was still talking to the multitudes, behold, his mother and his brothers stood outside, seeking to speak to him. Then one said to him, "Look, your mother and your brothers are standing outside, seeking to speak to you." But he answered and said to one who told him, "Who is my mother, and who are my brothers? For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother."
Did you read verse 49? And he stretched forth his hand.
Whoops. And he stretched out his hand toward his disciples and says, "Here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother."
Isn't that interesting? In that plural number, you're looking at all of them together, he says, "my mother," and individually, "my brothers." But what's missing here? Well, we don't want to go into it. We don't want to tell what it is. But there's something really missing in here that we won't go through until we get to the servant's book, the Mark, because the position and the place and the position they are related to each other goes into being a servant. And it's a very interesting description, and it shouts out something here that is going to be revealed in Mark in the book where Jesus became a servant to us, and we are servants one of another. If we're following anything Jesus does, we're to do, in a sense, to our position within the body of Christ, within Jesus' family. Isn't that interesting that that's missing? You know, where they find that, where this has taken place. It's taken place in Jesus' house. And it's obviously missing. And isn't it rather fun that we'll see that in Mark, how you'll add? It's like those cartoons that are the sheets of clear vellum, and they draw a picture, and you see one thing, and then you add to it in the next scene, and it puts...
Like a layover.
Yeah, it's a layover. Exactly what is here, it's not missing from the other one, but there's a whole part missing in this description of it that you'll find in the book of Mark. Any comments on that?
Well, back a while back in Matthew chapter 7, it says, doing the will of the Father. And here, this is the first time this gets repeated again. And in Matthew chapter 7, when you did the will of the Father, it says, everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of the heavens, but he that does the will of my Father. So now, when you do the will of the Father, you can enter the kingdom of the heavens, and doing the will of the Father, and it will make you Jesus' brother and sister and mother. If you add those two pieces together that we have in this book, now you see you just don't go in by yourself. You go in and there's a family there.
And this shouts out, these yes. are only people who are doing the will of
the Father.
The Father.
And that's the second time. It's the, I guess, how many, from 7 to 12, that's five chapters have passed, and he brings up the subject one more time and adds a piece to it.
So instead of entering a church building, you're going to God's house, and it's not a huge house with a whole crowd of people, 1,000 or so on people. It's a house.
And apparently it's countable.
Yeah, and you can count them.
It's countable, yes. It's not masses.
Yeah, but...
And it's in a house. That's good.
It's in a house.
It's a small group of people, and you're entering in, and they are your family.
Right. It's not thousands.
I get you.
I don't think it's in the hundreds even. It's probably less than 100, and maybe a bit less. Maybe around 50-ish or less. I don't know. I'm not going to... We've had up to 25 or 35 people in our house, and that's getting pretty crowded in our house. Maybe this is a little bit bigger one, maybe a little bit smaller one. We don't know yet, but the common denominator is?
When this, that was a selection back here that we read where Jesus had 12 disciples or apostles, and they were, he went up, and so that was a number that came up. And then his family, you know, one thing about this scripture too is some people don't know that Jesus had siblings. And this is something here. I mean, his mother and his brothers. So it tells you that he had brothers. That means that there's more than two.
Well, reading this later on, you'll find out their names. You'll get introduced.
You'll
to
find
them.
Out their names, and they're in the Bible.
And there's
not girls
and boys.
So when
here.
People tell you that, no, this isn't so, boy, here's just opening and saying brothers, saying, oh, wow, Jesus at least had two brothers. That's all we can get from that.
And also his sister. And so there's men, women, boys, and girls. We don't know ages or whatever. Common denominator, the entrance pass, doing the will of the Father. That's what you find.
And here's a place, like you said yesterday, sister. There it is.
You don't see that a lot because God is not a sexist, and he treats men and women as his sons. They're equal. If you don't treat your wife like a joint heir, you're in big trouble. Your prayers just will not go through to God. You need to reconcile that. Right now, I'd say, is a good time.
And notice Jesus is the one that brought up the word sister. He wasn't asked that.
Right.
He added sister to it.
Isn't it interesting where they throw these things in? But look what's missing that we're going to read in Mark. It's very telling. It's a lot of fun to watch. Now, this is the first time we've done it. Is Andy and Steve and I have done this and looked at Matthew being the introduction to looking up, because God's kingdom comes from above. Jesus is the king. The next one we're going to learn about our place in the family. And Mark is going to, and that picture in that house is going to tell us our position in the family and what our attitude in the family is going to have to be. And of course, we have to get along, right? And then after that, we'll learn that about Jesus, how he came as a man, and how it's helpful to be able to walk in other people's shoes. He walked in our shoes. He put on our skin. And it reminds us to do the same thing. If we're going to follow him, we have to be considerate of others and where they come from, their trials, their hurts, their inclinations, their things they may be afraid of. We have to be careful with God's house. And then we'll go on in the end in John, and we'll learn that Jesus is the Son of God. He's come from the beginning. He knows a whole lot more than we do. He's seen everything. Everything that was created, he created it. He knows all things. And then we're able to really sit at his feet and really him explain anything we need to know. The Creator will explain to us. And this might last us forever, a forever learning with him. The next, Matthew 13, 1 through 9.
That day, Jesus went out of the house and was sitting by the sea, and the large crowds gathered to him so that he got into a boat and sat down, and the whole crowd was standing on the beach. And he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, "Behold, the sower went out to sow. And he sowed, and some fell beside the road, and the birds came and ate them up. Others fell on the rocky places where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up, and because they had no depth of soil. But when the sun had risen, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. Others fell among the thorns, and the thorns came up and choked them out. And others fell on the good soil and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. He who has ears, let him hear."
Is this the first time parable is found
that word in Matthew? Yes, it's the first parable that by name.
I knew you'd have known that by now.
Yeah.
Did you just look it up this morning? Or
No, I knew that, lived there all the whole time.
But you've known it for several years or a long time.
Well, yeah, this is one of the teachings when I went up to Seattle with you, and we were at Scott and Nancy's house in Seattle proper. And what was, and I forget the lady that came over there with us. Anyway, we were at that house, and this is a teaching that I taught there, and I'd only taught it two times. And I go, "Gil, I want to teach this." And you go, "Well, go ahead and talk about it." And so that's the first time. So I
trusted you.
You did. That's scary, isn't it?
Yeah, how many years had we known each other by that, Tim? Two or three or what?
A couple maybe, yeah, a couple.
Oh,
two
fun.
Years.
That's fun.
Yeah, it was a couple years. So I've been talking about this, and so I knew the location pretty well because I've been talking about it for quite a while.
You like those parables, don't you?
Yeah.
Well, anytime Jesus spoke to a crowd, what is he speaking in?
parables.
Now, he's been speaking to the crowds before, and what he says are really parables.
They were parables because they weren't obvious talk. They were making statements about things and like things.
Or he would not tell them everything. He would tell them just what they needed to learn to get into the first door.
A piece, yeah.
Yeah, to get to the first step. His disciples had gone with him, and they're further along, and they weren't ready for it because these other people would just be beginners, just brand new beginners. So if this is your first time of really hearing God's word, these are the types of things where Jesus speaks, especially in Matthew. These are for all of us, but these are also probably the best place. Well, it is the best place to start, is the book of Matthew. So what are things you told people? Let's say you went into a group with new people. What would be the first thing you wanted to bring out in this, since this was your specialty teaching?
Well, I would read the parable, and then I couldn't really explain the parable, except it had different pieces and different types of ground and where the seeds fell. And I couldn't get any further than that until I noticed that Jesus gave an interpretation of it. And I thought, wow, I'm glad I don't have to interpret this. Jesus is going to give an interpretation. And so I wouldn't do much more than just read this and bring out a simple point like, hey, there's four types of soil and there's four seeds and there's things that happen to those four seeds. And then I would move along and go, let's see what Jesus has to say about interpreting what he meant, because there's no way that I could get any deeper than that. So we'll read the next, what is that, Gil? Is that verse 10 through 17?
10 through 17.
Okay.
Is the penance context.
And the disciples came and said to him, why do you speak to them in parables? And he answered and said to them, because it has been given you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heavens, but to them it has not been given. For whoever has, to him more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. And in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, hearing you will hear, and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. For the heart of this people has grown dull, and their ears of harder hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their heart and turn, so that I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For amen, I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it.
So now what did you bring out? What were the main points you brought out then when you explained this to them back in, what, 1981 or two, somewhere? Well,
I don't think I probably explained a lot to them back then, but I did say that they wanted to know why he spoke in parables, and he answered them. It says it's been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. So right there I'd go, so the kingdom of the heavens has to do with mysteries. Mysteries are things that you don't know unless it gets revealed to you. So if it bothers you, you don't understand a lot of things about that's said about the kingdom of the heavens, it's okay. It's a mystery that has to be revealed. And it says to the outside, to certain people, it's not given to them, but it's been given to these people, and Jesus is going to explain it to them. And it says they can see, but they don't see. They can hear, but they don't hear, and they don't understand. And It says many righteous, many prophets and righteous men desired to see these things and didn't get to see them. And then the very next, I guess it's 18 through 23, Jesus gives his explanation, which is helpful if you want to know it. He says, therefore, hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who received the seed by the wayside. And he who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Now he who received the seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. But he who received the seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands, who indeed bears fruit, and produces some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. So it shows you now that it's talking about hearing the word about the kingdom. And the first one he says is anyone hears the word of the kingdom and doesn't understand it, the wicked one comes and takes away what was sown in his heart. This is the one that received the seed by the wayside. Now that's just what it says. It takes away. The wicked one comes. It doesn't say who the wicked one is, but it says the wicked one comes. You can probably guess who that's talking about. The second one, it says he received the seed on the stony places, and he heard and immediately received what was said with joy. Yet he didn't have any root in himself, and he only endured for a short time. When the tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, he stumbles. And here's the third one.
So Andy.
Yeah, go.
So on verse 19, if we're looking at the seed and the parable was about seed going in the ground, that ground, it says here that the seed went into had been sown in his heart. And so this seed being the word is going into a person's heart, and that's the equivalent to the ground, right?
Right.
Okay.
So when this word is sown, it didn't say it went into your mind. That's another way to do
yeah.
it. It said it went all the way into your heart, which is the spirit part of you.
Yeah.
And so this person didn't have any root in, didn't have any root in themselves, and they only endured for a while. And they immediately stumbled after persecution and tribulation. Now, he that received the seed among the thorns, who hears the word, and again, the word goes into everyone's heart. I'll keep repeating that. And the cares of the world and the deceitfulnesses of riches choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. And then the last one, it's the receives the seed on the good ground. You hear the word, understand it, and it bears fruit and produces 100-fold, 60, and 30. So out of the four types of soil here, and it gives an example of four types of situations with people. The first one, the wicked one snatched out away from his heart, and that's what happened. They didn't even understand it. The next person, they heard it, received it, were very, very joyful, but they didn't have any root in themselves. There was something wrong. They didn't have this root. They didn't have that root that they needed. And they, when things came along, tribulation and persecution, they immediately stumbled. So that's where that person ended up. The next person was in the thorns, you know, prickly the thorns. They hear the word, and they cared about the world, and they were deceived by riches. And these things like cares and deceitfulness of riches actually choke the word in the person. It chokes it, and they do not become fruitful. But the last one is the one that you really want to focus on to be, is receiving the seed on the good ground, and you hear the word and understand it, and you bear this fruit. And he's saying some people would bear 100, some would do 60, and some would do 30. And I used to, and remember talking about this, that God is not, it's not about everybody being 100. Some people are going to be 100, some 60, and some 30. And either one of those is fine, because if that's what he said right there. He's not saying, and everybody was 100. He didn't say that. Anyway, so.
So there's not equality in some things. But there is, they're equally a son, but they've been given different amounts and expected to do different things.
Well, there's another verse, and I'm not going to go digging too hard to find it, but it says that if you're given much, you're required much. So apparently somebody that's given much, meaning responsibility, accountability, and all these things, they're going to need 100. They're going to produce this 100. They are going to be responsible for this 100. So that's a way to equate that.
Did you have anything to say, Stephen?
Back in verse 12, it says, before going into the explanation, he says, for whomever has, to him shall be given, and he shall have an abundance. So, and then going further on in there, he talks about the heart in there twice in verse 15. So showing that
the heart had grown dull.
Yep.
And the ears were not hearing, and their eyes were closed.
Let's talk a little bit about the parables. Para is beside, and balo is to throw beside, you know, like casting seed. So you're taking one thing and comparing it to another. Let's look at it this way. Let's look at it that way. You're just
giving you a lot of points of view.
Yeah, you're comparing it to something else, part beside, to cast beside. Let's put this beside it, or let's put this beside it and look at it. And in this, it's, but to you has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of the heavens. Here that is again, telling what step we're on is to, and that's the beginning step, and he's telling us to look up. There's many yet to go. But let's just take care of this one first. This is an interesting scripture, too, because it's actually talking about in verse 19, is that the, that's this latest context. It's talking about understanding really the basic principles of Jesus. What's Jesus made of? How does he think? What's important to him? What's not important to him? The logo is his image. And it says, come and follow me. We not only want to walk in his footsteps, we want to think like he does, have his heart and mind on things. And until we meet again, may God lead you into all truth.
You can contact Gilbert and his friends at www.gilbertandfriends.com. That's www.gilbertandfriends.com. Or write to him, Gilbert and Friends, P.O. Box 820347, Vancouver, Washington 98682. That's P.O. Box 820347, Vancouver, Washington 98682. Or call us at 360-600-6726. That's 360-600-6726. We invite your comments as we reason together through the Bible. Thank you for joining us on Come Let Us Reason Together, and reminding you all to eat a healthy breakfast every morning. Our favorite breakfast is the Bible, because it is written, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God.